So, Judith, welcome, and the floor is now yours. Shall I give you a 10-minute or a 12-minute heads up?
Yeah, that'll be good. 12 minutes be good. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Right. Hi, I'm Judith, compulsive eater and selfaholic and compulsive thinker, doer, fixer. Thanks, Jeff, needing a speaker, and then we switched around some things and we found one. So first I just want to say, like, this particular round that I've just been in is I did another round of steps because I knew there was a price I was paying, and keeping a hold of my thoughts and resending myself thoughts, which are simply resentments. And when I went and wrote a list, my father was not on the list. It's so many times now and so many years been very healed, and I have done some work with even you guys in this room. So he wasn't on the list. And but more I sat, because I really wanted to go this time to the great reality within and ask that to give me consciousness around doing another inventory. Why do it? Because my head wasn't getting better, not around my dad. In fact, he was just not on the list. But then suddenly he popped up at 3 a.m. So I asked somebody with more experience. He has come up, and this other guys have come up. What should I put it there? And anyway, there's no answer for that, so I just left it there. And it turns out that there was to be a profound reason he had to come, because I was still squandering time, like the big book says, page 66. I was still squandering the hours worthwhile because of behaviors where I felt unsafe in a world that is a little weird right now. And just different things were coming, and they wouldn't stop coming. They would just periodically come again. I was tired. I got tired. So it says, if I'm going to deeply keep resenting these things to myself, and nobody else is sending them to me, it's certainly not about my dad, because he's been dead and I buried him quite actually in a really good space with him. And I need to go back in and see what is going on, because there is a precise equation here to the extent I keep permitting these things. And it says I'm in the business of resending this stuff to myself, and I will die much earlier of an alcoholic, like it says, insanity, than I will ever of my alcoholic stuff, even behavior. It won't be the behavior that gets me. It's going to be the mindset that gets me. So I really went back in with everything I had. I laid it down this time. And I consciously asked this power to that is here to stop me from harboring so many feelings, which are just simply thoughts and emotions that I keep resending to myself, and let them lay down. Because, on page 62, it's very clear for me that above everything else, I must be rid of this selfishness. And as a selfaholic, which self? There's so many parts of self, and actually there's just a few. It's self-will. That is my thoughts, emotions, feelings, perceptions, ideas. All of those have to be arrested and reset. I need a new cognition pattern. So I'm not going to go through the whole inventory, but for some reason I thought, oh, why don't I just pull my notes from my experience with this? Then they were extensive, like I've got pages and pages of scribble. But I had to get the cause clearer than it was usually. My cause was about, he screwed up our lives. Let me put down the basics. He abandoned us. Those are so obvious, But I'm not really bothered by that today. But what I was bothered by when I really got down and deep in there was, why do I sometimes still feel unworthy, unloved, and unsafe? And so I was guided to this space of, like, just put him down, and him and everybody else. And everything they did was unacceptable. Yeah, but that's not really the cause of the problem. The cause is it threatens my feeling, thought, idea of safety, of my reality, really, of acceptability. Anyway, there were a lot of things I had to go through to stop doing inventory like I used to stop doing inventory, which was millions and millions of, you know, I gotta have 54 fears, and not really, there's just a few fears really that come up with all of this. And when I got to the, I'm gonna go into this piece around the fourth column, of course it starts with, you know, I've got to see it from a different angle, and I've got to go in there from, I had to go in this time on a deeper angle. So the realization for me became, what is it that I despise about him or anybody else who makes me feel unsafe and all those things? What is it about that that I am trying to avoid or control in myself? Because it's got to still be going on in me. They're all dead, right? They're all dead. Or those people are not in my life, or, you know. So I had to go in there and had to really look, how am I acting like they acted or feeling like maybe they felt? And I went deeper to a place where I even wanted to see, why would they have acted like that? Because the book says how and why, right? I got to look at how and why I keep playing God. So I got to see, like, why? And I can ask the question why multiple ways. And I asked, why did that happen? Why did that happen that he acted that way? My dad was a real philanderer and he got us into a lot of hate. Anyway, I'll spare you the details. But one night a guy came with a gun. There was a lot of things happening at the time. And so I had to go down, you know, what is it about him? And maybe also for forgiveness sake, is there anything left that I don't forgive him? I sat in his bed, we laughed before he died, and I was all forgiven. I forgave. And yet there was like, why is he up again? Why? And I kept going, why is he up? You know, but there he was to give me some more opportunity. And what I started to see was I put myself in far more danger than my father ever did. My dad created a dangerous situation for moments in time. And then I went on to live a very wild and adventurous, colorful life in which I put myself in serious danger. Like I nearly got killed 3 times. And my dad never got us killed and never got us. They weren't threatening us to be killed, only my dad. So there were these weird things about safety that I had been doing and was perhaps still doing. I mean, come on, give me 34 years of compulsive eating. That's pretty unsafe behavior. And I'm not talking about a little bit of chocolate that you got to give up. No, I'm talking about thousands of calories shoved in and I could have a heart attack at any time. You know, so there were things like around danger. There were things around like abandoning myself, right? Because everybody thinks the parents abandon them. But I got to be honest, my dad didn't really abandon us. If I get the story facts right. So I did that too. I wrote down the facts. And I wrote down all the stories that came after the facts. It's not my fault. They helped me survive. My mind, remember, I'm up against myself. I'm up against my mind. I rely on my thinking, feeling, and think. You know, it's not useful to rely on that. As we know, addicts aren't real good at keeping that nice and clean. So that was probably one of the most humbling things I've ever done. I cheated on myself. I abandoned myself. But I have to ask, did I do that to God too? And when did I start doing that? And so I stopped right there. And I went back to some of the original pain that I'd suffered as a child. And it wasn't huge things. You know, I was talking with someone before. It doesn't have to be big and massive. You know, we didn't have people being beaten up in our house and stuff like that. More was ignoring. That was probably more profound for me. But it doesn't really matter because the book says fancied or real, right? So whatever degree. But I had to look at what happened, actually happened. And what did I make up? Let me realize it from a separate, different. And it was like, oh my God, right after this horrible experience, I started to make up some serious detail around, I have got to, and I must, and I need to get this fixed. And I've got to control the outcomes. I got to make sure people aren't seeing this. No. And then when that was too painful, I started to really shove some stuff in my face. And I noticed early that I was different than little girls. But after that, I started running in a world in a very dangerous, unsafe, unacceptable. All the things I could point at someone else, I started doing extreme and sometimes crazy. That I'm not a drug addict and alcoholic is probably a miracle, because I surely could have been. But I'd have died. I know that, you know, so I know I'd have probably been taken out. But anyway, well, I don't know. That's just a thought. So the depth in which I had to go, because I want to see why did I have to do that? And not because I need to understand it, although it helps to grasp a little of it, but it's like, so I know what I'm going with to my power to ask this great source of everything, that it can't possibly be that that is me. I cannot take that that is me from 10 years on, because I found out that before that I was bobbing along really nicely, like before about 7 or 8, bobbing along full of the greatness of everything, the greatness of goodness, the greatness of love, the greatness of spontaneity today. And I can be pretty spontaneous. And so I'm speaking right now, but I can be pretty spontaneous because when we never speak, you know, and I can be fun loving and all of that, but I still have this attack on my head and I don't want it. And so I don't want to ever feel like something makes me feel unloved. It can't, right? Because I was loved. I was born loved and I was always loved, but my mind changed. So now I put my father aside, for gosh sake, he's been put aside so many times. And I need to see, why do I cheat, abandon, and betray myself, making myself feel unsafe, uncared for, unloved? And even with all this recovery, without the compulsive eating, without this and that, without the chaos going, I still have that happening to my mind, all right? I don't love myself. That it's like thoughts come like, that's not good, Judith. You better try harder. You know, oh my, shush, 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 please. So I have to start to see and connect these dots between the realization of not just what I do to others, that's like my dad, I could list that easily, what I do to myself, to my God, and then I got to see, I'm looking for the alternate reality mistake. The big book is trying to help me get to truth, and I was trying to get done with the bloody, thank you, reality, this altered reality that happened to me, that still exists in me. My fears are not new, they're old. There are no new fears, they're just reversioned ideas of the same fear. And I'm looking for that mistake so I can ask for that thing. And you know, when I start to write down from that place, you know, and I did the whole forgiveness thing with my dad by looking at, did he get hurt? Was he unsafe? Did he feel not enough? Did he feel numbed out? Oh my God, I looked at my dad's history as much as I can fathom from what my higher power gave me. And I'm just like, wow, that he didn't do worse to us is a miracle. It's a miracle. But then I get started, you know, my, you know, these things around my selfish actions, self-centeredness. Look, I listed lots of things. Like I push anything away from me that I can't handle. I push harder to fix situations. I figure out ways to cover up things that I don't think look pretty. I threw myself into solutions like boys, men, poly. I can see how I have selfish reactions towards myself, like behaviors and thoughts. And then I start to see where I do it to God. I don't need you right now. I've got this fixed. I don't care that I know that that's right. And the program tells me I'm going to turn my back because I want to go off and fix something or do something. I return to faith only to return back out of faith. There's all these selfish self-seeking reactions, but the big real bits come when I go to fear, and I go to fear at the bottom of that fourth column. And I start to have that pulled. Take the fear, what's the fear, go deeper in fear, go down in the fear. And when I find unsafety, and when I find I'm rejected or I'm unsafe or any of those things, it started to pull itself, and it started to pull itself all the way through to, I can't take it. I can't dare go near the fact that I'm a failure. And if I'm a failure, I'm a no one. If I'm a no one, I'm a nowhere. And when I'm nowhere, I'm nothing. And when I had the fear pulled into me, not out of me, God take the fear. No, God pull the fear in me and pull the fear so deep inside me. And I was no thing. I'll just finish on that. When it went inside and it went right through like a spear, and the power that I rely on took it through me, I was left with no thing. And that's what I'm afraid of. And when I got there, I found everything, because that's where God lives. It is everything. And now I just see the fear and it shoots by. It's not like it won't come, it's just shooting by. I'm seeing in a different way I couldn't see before, because I dare to ask questions that had not been posed, because I wasn't ready. I'm ready. And now I can live now. I exist. I can't not exist. I cannot not be nowhere or nothing. I am just not a something or a nothing. I am just. And that's exciting. Thank you, Pastor.